بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه، ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر، ولتكملوا عدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First and foremost, I give my congratulations to each and every one of you on this very auspicious occasion which is upon us, and that is the birthday of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam, like all of the imams, they are the walking and speaking Quran. That when we examine their life is the embodiment of the Quran and the message of the Quran. And in this blessed month of Ramadan, our focus, or at least part of our focus, should be on the Quran and this revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given to us. As He Himself, He states, Hudan lin-nas wa bayyinati min al-huda wal-furqan, that it is a guide for mankind. And it is that which separates what is truth from falsehood. Some weeks ago we began discussing the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, actually verse 183 onwards, which speak about the month of Ramadan. It speaks about fasting. And just as a quick recap, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states in these verses, beginning with 183 of Surah Al-Baqarah, He states that fasting is something He has prescribed for all of mankind. That every prophet who came forth, that He has prescribed this fasting for them, for His ummah. As He states to us, as the followers of the Prophet, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, that fasting has been prescribed for you as it's been prescribed for others. The reason for that fast, He explains, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps you may gain taqwa. Perhaps through fasting, it will lead you to consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consciousness and awareness of your duty and responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we look at the life of the Prophet and the life of the Imams, particularly also Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam, that their whole life was around this idea, this concept of taqwa, of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of having people to be aware of their actions, be aware of their responsibility, be aware of their duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's quite interesting, we see this, you know, if we look at the life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, one thing that we notice that, yes, Imam Hassan, he had, when we look at it from a very, from a political standpoint, he had a very difficult life, political. Because after his father was martyred, then there was, of course, there was the attack on Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, that also he had no companions. A few times that, you know, there was, he exalted people, said, well, we need to stand, we need to defend justice and truth. No one would stand behind him. And of course, from the side of Muawiyah, there were attacks on Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. They were, you know, in all the bilad, even some people had called Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, you know, the title of a commander is Amir al-Mu'mineen, Of course, we know that Imam Ali, he had the title, but Amir means one who is a commander. Mu'mineen, the believers. So one who stood out as a leader, this was a common title, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And even we see this title given to others than Imam Ali throughout the history of Islam. So, well, if this guy, he is the leader of the Muslim Ummah, the believers, so they gave him the title Amir al-Mu'mineen. But Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, alayhi salatu wasalam, that when he was the leader of the believers, God forbid, they, other titles were used for Imam. They said that, no, he's not the Amir of the believers, but he is the Amir of those who are, at one point they said they were going astray, the Amir of those who are going astray, Amir of those who have strayed from Allah, God forbid. But these are some things that they were saying about Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. But even though, as Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, he gives one speech in the court of individuals, among them was Muawiyah, and he says, all of this, what you've said, everything that has been said against me, he says, ma shatamuni, wa ma sabuni, that you haven't talked against me, you haven't disgraced me. He says, none of this, meaning that your words with regards to me is fruitless. He says, but the thing which has disgrace, that has been a disgrace towards me, is your actions. He says, the actions of the people, they're leaving the way of Rasulullah. He says, that is more painful and hurting to me than the words that you state. He says, your words, they have no effect on me. That it doesn't bother me. He says, but what bothers me is that here my grandfather came, Rasulullah, with the best message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you rejected that message. And you turned away from the guidance of Rasulullah. So we see that here, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, that this thing which, you know, most people, they will look and they will take it very personally. Oh, he said this about me. She said this about me. This person is doing this to me. He says, look, what you say about me personally, he says, I don't mind that. It doesn't hurt me. Doesn't bother me one bit. But what you do with regards to the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, he says, this is painful. This is because Imam Hassan Mujtaba, he knows that, look, if you turn away from this guidance, you're turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your path is not to Jannah, but the path is towards Jahannam. And he knows that this is not why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind, that they take that path towards Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created mankind so that they could go to paradise, so that they will realize this blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to mankind, which is not given to any other creation. He gave that to mankind when he created Adam. But when we are oblivious of that ni'mah, he says, this is what's painful. So the reason for fasting is taqwa. Expressed in the Quran and expressed by the Quran or Natiq, which is Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wasalam. That's a summary of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states at the beginning of these verses, 183, Surah Al-Baqarah. Then in verse 185 of Surah Al-Baqarah, which we recited in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes it very clear that this fasting that he has prescribed for the believers, it is a fasting in the month of Ramadan. Shahr Ramadan. And this is a month, الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, that it is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has revealed the Qur'an in this blessed month. But again, subhanAllah, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He uses His words, the choice of words. It's very excellent. This is one reason also I would encourage others to, you know, to learn Arabic, to learn this revelation. Yes, we can read it in English, and it's fine. The main thing is to gain the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you also learn some Arabic, at least, and learn that, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Because every word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, He uses it for a specific reason. Shahru Ramadan. The month of Ramadan. But وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ رَمَضَانَ. And what is Ramadan? What is Ramadan? The month of Ramadan. And quite often, in some of the hadith, and of course some scholars, they said that some of the hadith are not as authentic, but there are hadith from Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam, nonetheless. And it's stated that whenever one speaks of this blessed month, they should use it with that condition, that they specify that this is the month of Ramadan, rather than just saying that Ramadan, just using the term Ramadan. And this is because, again, some of the hadith, which, again, there's a debate on it. Personally, I have not done a lot of research on this particular topic to check the sanad. But nonetheless, it is mentioned in many of the tafsir. It is mentioned with regards to the commentary on a lot of the hadith also, which use the term Shahru Ramadan, because quite often when we look at the term Ramadan, it comes with Shahru Ramadan. And this is because they say Ramadan is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shouldn't say that, oh, well, Ramadan has come. Say that, oh, Allah has come, if Ramadan is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you say that we are, or Shahru Ramadan has come. The month of Ramadan has come upon us. We are in the month of Ramadan. Rather than say that, we are in Ramadan. It is a month. We are in Ramadan. But the reason why some have stated that, okay, well, perhaps this is the name of Allah, or maybe not, this is because the meaning of Ramadan, some have said that, you know, it seems kind of strange when we say that, okay, this is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the literal meaning of Ramadan, the literal meaning of Ramadan means to scorch something, or to purify something through heating it up. Or it could be a hot rock. So we know that one of the methods of purification, and especially, you know, in the medical field, when you want to purify something, you heat it up, or you'll wash something with hot water. So through scorching that thing, it becomes pure. It kills the germs on that thing. And in fact, some have stated that the reason why this blessed month of Ramadan is called Ramadan, it says, because in this month, يَرَمَذُ اللَّهُ ذَنُوبَ الْمُؤْمِنِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He purifies the sins of the believers. Meaning, that process of purification. And a process of purification through what? Through heat. Through burning. He says, and here's the hikmah. Because when you're fasting, at times you feel the burning pain of hunger. So that burning pain of hunger is a burn that is purifying your soul. It is purifying yourself. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that each and every word He uses in the Quran is not arbitrary. It has a meaning. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ أَلَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. So first of all, He said the fasting is prescribed for you that you may gain taqwa, consciousness, piousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That fasting is prescribed in the month that is Ramadan. That Ramadan is a month in which you're going to feel the burning pain of, and it's not that painful, We can admit that. It's not that painful. Perhaps if we forget to eat suhoor and we have a 16-hour fast, yes, it may get a little bit painful. But all in all, it's not painful. Every once in a while, you'll feel the pain of hunger. But it is a means of purification. It's a means of purification. And so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's say that if this is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so some have said that it's kind of strange that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a scorcher, he scorches the believers. But nonetheless, to figure that out, maybe we can consider it as a means of purification, that he is the purifier. And he's speaking of a type of purification for the believers. But nonetheless, Shahru Ramadan, a month of purity through, you could say, heat or through burning off the sins of the believers. الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهَ الْقُرْآنِ. And this month of Ramadan is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has revealed the Qur'an. And this Qur'an, as we know, and not to get into like the very, very detailed debates of the Qur'an, that what exactly is the Qur'an? Is the Qur'an the actual letters, or is it the meaning behind those words? Or is it that which is in Lawhul Mahfuz? But based on common sense, the Qur'an is what we have with us. And what we are obligated to follow in our life, the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has sent this Qur'an in the month of Ramadan. The Qur'an, according to many of the commentators, many of the scholars, it is revealed twice or in two different ways. One way is daf'i, in an instant, and the other way is tadriji, over time. So over time, meaning that at particular moments throughout the history and the life of Rasulullah, the Qur'an was revealed to Rasulullah. The Qur'an was revealed to him, and perhaps regarding certain instances, for example, the changing of the Qibla, or when it's time for Hajj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed these verses to the Prophet to explain what are the believers to do in those scenarios, or to give them guidance through the stories of past prophets. That's over time. In an instance, meaning at one moment, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed the Qur'an upon the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the night, at least, the night that we believe that this took place is in Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny. The night of destiny. Quite often we say the night of power. Qudra is power. Laylatul Qudra would be the night of power. But Laylatul Qadr is the night of destiny. The night in which we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our forgiveness, for our well-being, the well-being of the ummah, the well-being of our families. We should pray for our destiny, what is to come. That's Laylatul Qadr. And that's the night in which we believe that this Qur'an was revealed in one instance, in the month of Ramadan. And when that night is, and inshallah, hopefully it will be upon us, but every year I get this question, so I'll mention it now, that some ask, so when is Laylatul Qadr? And Rasulullah and the Imams, they always said, every night of Ramadan is Laylatul Qadr. And it is only after some of the believers, they said, well, narrow it down for us. That, okay, tell us, something less. Give us some. So he said that every odd night of Ramadan is Laylatul Qadr. So every odd night, so meaning the night of the first, the night of the third, the night of the fifth, the night of the seventh, the night of the ninth. All of these nights, you stay up, make dua, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your well-being and your future. So then some said, well, can you narrow it down even less? So then Rasulullah, he said, well, okay, every odd night of the last 10 nights, meaning night of the 11th, night of the 13th, last 10 nights. The last 10 days, meaning if there's 10 days left, the last 10, the odd nights of all the last 10. So it would encompass the 11th, the 13th, the 15th, which is night like tonight, the night of, last 10 days. I'm thinking of the, yes, actually, I'm thinking of the, because the middle of the month, every month is actually also very special night, so the, what they call them, Ayam al-Bid, like the, when the moon is in its full state, that's Ayam al-Bid, which also has very special occasions, but you're right, so the odd nights are the last 10 nights. So these are the nights of Qadr. And then again, the Prophet was asked, okay, well, can you narrow it down from that? So then he says, night of the 19th, night of the 21st, and night of 23rd. So if you are not doing every night, or every odd night of the month of Ramadan, or every odd night of the last 10 days, he says, at least these 3 days. And even they ask, okay, well, can you narrow it down from these 3 days? He says, if I narrow it down anymore, then you will do nothing. And that is quite much the reality of the state of man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave this blessed month that we may gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should make every effort to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just 3 nights. That, you know, for most of Ramadan, and unfortunately sometimes we do that. For most of the Ramadan, we're just fasting. Okay, well, Laylatul Qadr is going to come, and that's when I'll start reading the Quran a little bit more. I'll start making more du'as. So all the nights of Ramadan is like all the nights other than Ramadan, except for those 3 nights. So it means that all of those barakat we have missed. That's an unfortunate thing. This blessed month, the blessed month of Ramadan, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He promises to forgive His servant in this month. And subhanAllah, the blessings of Ramadan is, you know, when you look at it, it is amazing. Yes. You can never account the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us. But, you know, one of the hadith of the Prophet that always amazes me when I think about it, especially in the month of Ramadan, and this is specific for the month of Ramadan, that for every breath that a believer takes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives that believer blessings. And actually it's stated that for every breath, an angel asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive that believer. And imagine, I guess, you know, I'm not going to take any stabs at it. I'll probably miss that number two. But maybe you can ask the doctor that what is the average amount of breaths that an individual takes in a day. And even throughout the night while you're sleeping. For every single breath. Some of the Urufa, they say that the reason because of this is because that breath, in reality, if we're really conscious of the breath, says it is a dhikr, it is a reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you listen to the breath, said it's like who. It's like you're saying who, meaning He, referring to Allah. Say this is one of the wisdoms, and this is what many of the urafa say, that every breath is a dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the month of Ramadan, we should be conscious of that. Why? Because in the month of Ramadan, every time we mention who, that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, He acts like an angel to forgive us. So this is the blessing of the month of Ramadan. So our days in Ramadan should not be like our other days outside the month of Ramadan. It is a month which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran, Hudan linnas, wa bayyinatin minal huda, that this Quran has been given to you, read the Quran. Yes, you have your dhikr, your breath, your breathing, but read the Quran. There's guidance in it for mankind. Wal furqan, and it separates truth from falsehood. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرِ, and so whosoever witnesses that month of Ramadan, فَلِيَسْهُمْهُ, then they should fast the month of Ramadan. And we mentioned that the true fast of the month of Ramadan, it is a fast that will make your month of Ramadan different from any other month. It is a fasting not only of abstaining from food, but abstaining from looking at things you should not look at, abstaining from listening to things you should not listen, abstaining from things you should not speak about. So it's a total fast of every limb of our bodies. And of course, as this verse states, inshallah, Salat is soon, so I'm going to finish quickly, that, and if one is sick or traveling, then he or she fasts at another time. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. SubhanAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants ease from you. He wants you to have ease. And He doesn't want to make it difficult for you. And really, if you think about it, the concept of taking every breath, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's rewarding you of it, even if you're not conscious of it. And so that's the interesting thing about it. As some of the Urafa, they explained it. Look, yes, on the outside of Ramadan, yes, the Urafa, those who seek to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are conscious that their breath is a dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah rewards them for that. Why? Because that is taqwa. That is a high state of consciousness. But in Ramadan, Allah, He wants to make it easy for everyone to gain that reward. So even if you're not conscious of it, He's rewarding you for it. Allah, يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. But we still should make more effort to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're not able to fast, they took مِلُوا عِدَّةَ. Yes. You fast other days and you complete your fast. And you exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا حَدَاكُمْ. And you exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given you. And is He not worthy of thanks? Two minutes. So if He's not worthy of thanks, that He's given you this much blessings with this month of Ramadan, so exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala ma hadakum, for that which He has guided you towards, la'allakum tashkurun. And in that exalting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be really and truly showing appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He helps us to take benefit from this blessed month of Ramadan in every aspect. May He forgive our sins, cover our shortcomings. May He hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman and make us among His companions, His helpers, and those who sacrifice our lives for Him. Allahumma ighfir dhunubana wastur ayubana وقضي حوائجنا في هذا الشهر العظيم وعجل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وجعلنا من أوانه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه وتحت لوائه بحق محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وآخر دعوانا والحمد لله رب العالمين.